Hello, I'm Julie Stanford and welcome once again to Essential Business Radio. Joining me today to discuss the key tools for managing your money in the business are two chartered accountants, Carol Lewis, partner at Bainbridge Lewis, and Charlie Eve, partner at Carpenter Box. I'll start with you, Carol. I know you like working with smaller businesses, I think you said. Why is that?
I just love that whole passion when you start your business and, you know, it's your baby, isn't it? And people are really involved and they've got loads of ideas and it's also new to them as well. And I like helping people at that stage. I find it really rewarding to go and also to go and see them take that journey and watch their business grow as well. It's really, really rewarding.
Yeah. So, Charlie, what about you? What kind of clients do you like working with? I'm you going to have to say all of them, really, aren't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Put you on the spot?
Owner-managed businesses are the best.
Really? And why is that? Is it because
there's a passion.
Yeah.
And I love what I do. They enjoy what they do. And you just get a bit of a rapport. And the best thing that someone says to me is, oh, Charlie, you're not really like an accountant. It means that they're able to talk to me.
Yeah.
And when they talk to me, then I can give them the advice that they need.
And you become, in effect, a partner in their business in that you're one of the people they go to with a very important part of the business, which is the money.
And many times you become a friend.
Yeah.
A friend, not like best friends, but someone that they can confide in because you are a trusted advisor. There's many things that clients will tell their accountant that they might not tell other people. Mm. So there needs to be some sort of confidence there.
So really now, the reason I've asked you to come today is because I wanted to talk to you about managing the money in the business. And in another show, Carl, when we were talking about the keeping financial records, you were saying how exciting it is when people can actually understand the figures and start to use them to manage the way the business is going. So with the key tools, one of the things I was thinking about was a budget.
Yeah.
Is that something that you would advise businesses to use?
Oh, definitely. I think what you need to do when you're going to start the budgeting process is think where you want to be in 5 years' time. Where are you trying to take your business? You know, do you want to be working 3 days a week and, be a bit of a, you know, just enough to go and pay your mortgage so you're enjoying it? Or are you looking to take over the world and be employing, 50 people? And so you need to be thinking about what do you want from your business? Where are you trying to take it? And I usually suggest about a 5-year period. I find that's quite a good period to look over that. And then you need to start looking about how you're going to get to that place in the next 5 years. And once you've got that 5-year plan, then you can start looking at, you know, where you're going to get, what you're going to do in the first year and start doing a bit more detailed budgeting on what you need to achieve in that first year.
So if I understand that correctly, you would say to someone, right, we're looking at the end, the 5-year point. So
yeah.
You start from that point and you're saying that's the level of turnover would you be looking at?
Yeah.
Use that as a marker.
Or profit, yeah.
Profit.
Profit's probably the best place to start from. But, you know, sometimes as well, it's not just about the financials. People have other goals in there and you have to try and build that into the financial figures. So there's a number of factors that go into. But I think also visualising it, do you know what I mean, about where you want to go? And then you try and turn that back into numbers and what kind of turnover would you need to be doing to go and get to that point?
Yeah. So what does that look like?
Yeah, what does it look like?
Yeah. Yeah. This might be a good point, Charlie, for you to explain the difference between turnover and profit, because I have had a number of people look at me quite blankly when I've mentioned both of those words. So would you kindly explain the difference for
I mean, turnover
interested.
Turnover is your income, your sales. So if you sold a widget for £100 and that's all you did in the year, your turnover would be £100. If you had no costs, then your profit would be £100 because your sales and your less your costs makes your profit. So if your costs were zero, your profit would be the same as your sales. So if you had expenses through the year, I'm making it simple numbers because I haven't got a calculator in front of me. So if you had expenses of £50, so you've got your income of your sales of 100, you've got your expenses of 50, then your profit is 50. Mm. So it's 100 less 50 makes 50. So your turnover, as we started with the first question, was 100 and your profit's 50.
Right.
So essentially all profit is, to make it easy, is your sales less your costs. Mm.
Okay, and that's, of course, going to be... They always say turnover is vanity and profit is sanity,
that's
don't
right,
they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's always odd to me that people rate businesses by the level of turnover, because actually...
I find it very
you
odd,
could
yeah.
make You could have £1 million turnover and only be making £100 profit, therefore the business isn't quite as exciting as it might appear.
You see it a lot, actually, and you say, oh, you've prepared some accounts and the client goes, oh, my... turnover was up by such and such, and you go, yes, but actually it's cost you more to generate that extra turnover than you've got from it, and suddenly reality hits, and it's like you think, oh, I'm going to get a lot more sales if I take on a sales manager. So you take on a sales manager for 30,000, say, so plus Nash Insurance, you got 33,000, and they generate an additional £30,000 worth of sales. Well, you've lost £3,000, so you really have to think about it. And yeah, turnover is vanity,
yes,
and profit is sanity.
So thinking then, Carol, about this budget, what is a budget, and why, how would you start to put one together? So once you've got this 5-year plan and you're excited about where you want to go and the figures are going to be the way you're going to get there, in effect, what's the practical steps you would take?
First of all, I always go and start with the sales, so it's a really good place to start. And it kind of varies on business to business. But for example, if you're selling a product, you can start looking at unit sales. How many units would I have to go and sell, and what's my average cost price that I can sell those units for? If you're service based, you can start looking at the number of hours you're going to go and sell, and what's your like average charge out rate for those hours. So it can vary from business to business, but you know, the sales is the best place to start. And once you have those sales, you can start thinking about what costs you'd incur to get those sales. So if you're selling a product, you'd have to think about, well, what's that product going to cost me to buy? If you don't have a product or a service, you need to start thinking about what your overheads are. So, you know, do I need an office? Am I going to need staff? What are they going to get paid? And then go through it like that.
And so, and how often, Charlie, would you expect someone to review that budget? So you said earlier, Carol, that there would be less, more detail in, say, the upcoming year. Would you advise your customers to be reviewing it frequently, Charlie?
Yeah.
How would you do that?
Frequently, definitely. Sometimes you might have bank finance and they actually require you to do a budget, and then you have to review that on a month-by-month basis. But I would tend to say if you're VAT registered and you're doing your VAT returns quarterly, then you would look to review your budget on a quarterly basis, because you've got all your records up to date, because you've had to do your VAT return. So that's a point, and a great point for you to sort of look at and see, well, how are we doing? How are we doing against budget? Are things not going quite as expected, or are things going better than expected? Well, maybe we should flex the budget, so change the budget to reflect what's happening now rather than when you set it, which may be 3 months, 6 months, a year ago.
So it's a guide, but it's a flexible guide. Is that correct?
It's your best guess of the future, and there are many different circumstances that can change what's going to happen in the future.
Now talking about best guess for the future, I want to talk to you about cash flow forecast as opposed to budget, because I can remember when I was in business and bank manager would say to me, I want a cash flow, and I would think I might as well be writing a fairy story, because it seemed to me I was guessing what was going to come in and I was guessing what was going to go out. So Carol, at Bainbridge Lewis, why would you say to your clients, we want a cash flow, we advise you to do this? What's the difference between that and a budget, and why would you want a cash flow?
So the first thing about what's the difference between a budget and a cash flow is that a budget is whether you're going to make a profit or a loss. But there are very profitable businesses that don't necessarily have a lot of money in the bank. You know, they're two different things, a profit and whether you've got cash in the bank. So even if you're profitable, you need to be doing a cash flow forecast so you can work out how much cash you're going to go and have in the bank. I think there's a famous saying that cash is the lifeblood of a business. So to create a cash flow, you'd start with what your current bank balance is, and then you're going to sit there and you're going to look, if you're doing a short term one, maybe a month, you're going to look at what money's going to come into the bank and what money's going to go out of the bank in that month. So it's really important to look at, for example, your credit terms on that you're giving to your customers. So if you know what your sales were last month and you're giving your customers 30 days credit, you're going to expect to have that money in the following month. And you also need to go and look then at what are your bills going to be that you're going to have to pay in the following month. So it's really important if you're VAT registered, because obviously you're paying that once a quarter. So you've got these sudden large amounts coming out of your bank balance, and you need to make sure that you've got the balance in there to pay it. So if necessary, you need to be on the phone to your customers saying, I need you to go and pay me, so that that money's in there and ready to go and pay for your VAT liability, or maybe your, you know, corporation tax bill or something like that that's going to come out of your bank account.
And Charlie, do your Carpenter Box clients, do they do them? Do they do cash flow? Is it something you would really strongly advise them to do?
Yes. I mean, I tend to, when I talk to my clients about the difference between budget or cash flow, and essentially the budget is your profit and loss that you're sort of budgeting for the future. And all the cash flow is a timing difference. Because if you think about your profit, if you raised an invoice and you received that money straight away, and you, as soon as you received a bill, you paid it straight away, your cash flow would be exactly the same as your profit, because you've got your income and your expenses, same as the example before, £100 income, £100 expenses. Well, that's your profit, 50, and your cash flow, you've received 100 and you've paid out 50, so your cash is 50. So all a cash flow is the timing of when you receive that money. So you sort of start with your budget, your profit and loss, what you're expecting, and then you put it into timings.
Right.
So if it takes you 60 days for your sales to be received, and if you're doing a cash flow on a month-by-month basis, the sales that you made or you were proposing for the month, you would put the cash for that month 2 months later.
Excellent.
So that's how it works. You need to have a cash flow, because exactly as we're talking about, it takes longer for people to pay you, and sometimes you have to pay out. So there will be a cash shortfall.
So you need to think.
The cash shortfall has to be managed.
And also, I would imagine that, for instance, if you're looking that you're going to be going into overdraft, that gives you a few months grace, really, to be able to go to a bank manager and say, look, here's my cash flow. It looks like things might be a bit tough in a few months' time. Can I extend my facility? And then in over a short-term period, it gives you control and peace of mind, Carol.
Yeah, it helps you sleep at night. Otherwise, you're always worrying about, you know, what's gonna happen next. Whereas if you're predicting it, it just helps. And also, it's almost like a target again. If you've set yourself a list and you say, I know I need to get this much income in, you know what you've got to go and do. And if one of your customers turns around to you and says, I can't pay you this month, then you know at that point that you're in trouble and you need to come up with an alternative plan. You know, it just gives you, you're quite right, control of your finances.
Well, I've become such a convert to cash flow forecasts now that I actually created a spreadsheet, and we have it on the website at www.essential-business.co.uk on free tools and resources. And I hope you find it useful. So let's think then about other forecasting tools. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily forecasting tools, but other management tools, good things that you want businesses to use to be able to manage that money and get that exciting information to run the business better. Carol, what you were excited in our show when we were talking about records. What else would you be expecting your clients to use?
Oh, it really varies from business to business. I don't know if anyone's heard the term KPIs, which is key performance indicators. And it's basically picking out what's really key to your business. What do you need to know? So, for example, if you're a service-based business and you're selling your hours, you could look at what your average charge-out rate is per hour. You can look at, how many widgets you're selling. You need to decide what's important to your business, and then that's the information that you need to monitor every month on your finances, so you know where you are and you know what's going on, and if there's areas you want to improve, like your gross profit margin, how much profit you're making on your products, you know, then you set yourself targets and then monitor that every month so you can see how you're doing.
So it's all right for a business to decide their own key performance indicators.
Yeah.
I suppose that's the point, really. Mm. It's how they're performing within their particular business sector.
Yeah. With management accounts, it's completely all about what do you need to manage your business. There's no set rules. It's not like financial accounting when you're doing your year-end statutory accounts. Management accounts is about what you need to know to run your business, and it's your decision.
Mm.
And I think that's quite exciting that you can pick for yourself about, you know, what you need to know. And
it's really exciting in the sense that it puts the business owner in the driving seat.
Completely, yeah.
And they're making decisions based on good, solid information.
Mm-hmm.
Because I talk to a lot of businesses and I know that they struggle with that very often. They think, as you said, Charlie, they think that they've got a great turnover, therefore they must be running a profitable business, and it's not always true, is it? Charlie, at Carpenter Box, I would just like to know, with your clients, do you expect them to be able to read profit and loss and balance sheet, or is it something that you would be patiently explaining every time they come in to bring their accounts to you?
It really varies. Some people say to me, "Oh, Charlie, I don't understand what it's all about. Am I doing okay or aren't I?" And you explain that. But some people are very, very keen on understanding the information. I take time every time to go through the profit and loss and balance sheet. Most people have a good idea of the profit and loss, especially the bottom figure, because that's what's relevant to them. And to business owners, it's not just the profit, it's obviously the tax that's payable that's relevant, and it's a lot of things like, oh, why is my tax so high? What can we do to change that? And that's all surrounds the profit and loss account. Then the balance sheet is a point in time. What I tend to say is not the value of your business, it's actually if all those items on the balance sheet were converted to cash, so let's say your fixed assets that were there, so if you've got cars or fixtures and equipment, if they were sold at the price on the balance sheet, you'd have a certain amount of money. If you received all the money from everybody who owed you, your debtors, if you sold your stock at the cost to you, and if you paid everybody you owed, the balance sheet figure at the bottom would be the amount that you had in your bank account.
Mm.
So again, the balance sheet is a timing issue that revolves back to cash.
Because it is, I think that they need to both be looked at, don't they?
Because it's important to think the balance sheet shows a figure. That's not what your business is worth, but it's what it could be converted into cash if everything was sold at the value that is showing on the balance sheet.
At a particular point in time.
Yes, lots of people, or the phrase is, it's a photograph or a snapshot at a point in time, which happens to be at the year end if you're preparing year end accounts, or at the quarter end if you're doing quarterly accounts.
Excellent. Now I'm going to throw a curveball over to Carol now, but I did warn you before we came on air that I want to really try and understand break even.
Yep.
Because break even is a very important figure in a business, or mm-hmm. are a thing to know in a business, isn't it? Now, are you willing to take on the challenge, Carol?
I'm going to take on the challenge.
What is break-even, and why is it so important for a business owner to know about it?
Basically, it's the sales volume that you need to do so that your business neither makes a profit or a loss. So if I give you an example.
Please.
If you were selling widgets, sorry to go back to widgets.
These widgets, they're obviously very popular.
So going back to widgets, if you were selling widgets for £10 and to buy that widget in was costing you £5, so you're making a £5 profit on the widgets. If your overheads, your fixed costs of the business, were then £1,000 a month, you would then need to go and sell 200 widgets to go and break even. So it's really important for a business, because you need to know how many widgets you need to go and sell in a month so that you can make a profit.
Right. So would you do the figure over a month period, or would you do it over a quarter? How does that work?
You could do it over a year, you know, or you could do it over a month. I think it's probably quite good to do it over a month, so you've got monthly targets to be looking at. But you know, then you could maybe average it out over a year.
And where do variable costs come into the equation then?
So the variable costs are the £5 on the product, because obviously the more products that you sell, you need to buy more in. So that's a variable cost.
Right.
Whereas your overheads are a fixed cost. So your rent, your staff costs, your electricity, that's fixed. It doesn't matter how many widgets you sell, your fixed costs are always going to go and stay the same.
Yeah, which so is why they're called fixed, I
suppose. You're looking to make a gross profit to cover your fixed overheads, basically. It works quite well. If you're a new startup business, I often get people to think about how much money do they need to survive, you know, to pay their mortgage and stuff. And then they need to get their sales to that point, their profit to that point, so that they can go and cover their costs, because people often forget that their wage that they need to take home is an important cost in a business as well. So when starting out, it's really key to, I think, to do a break-even analysis.
Charlie, what would you say about break-even? You see, I'm throwing that curveball to you now. oh, he's happy to catch it.
Yes, because I've just learned from Carol. Sometimes with break-even, it's easy to break it down a bit further and actually think about if your sales is just selling your time. So let's say you're a consultant, it makes it easier because you're going to have a whole load of fixed costs. So you're going to have your office, you're going to have your electricity, your phone, your insurance. So all those costs you're going to pay each year, and each year pretty much that's going to be the same. So let's say that was £20,000. So as a consultant, your the only income is your income. So you need to make £20,000 to cover those costs. That's your break-even point before taking any money for yourself. So as Carol said, if you then had £10,000 a year of your own costs that you need to cover, then to break even personally, your sales would have to be £30,000. £20,000 to cover your fixed costs, £10,000 to cover your personal costs. So if you're not producing something, it's easier to work out your break-even. But essentially, the formula is the same.
And I suspect that people shy from it because it's a cold light of day figure. It gives you, but it also gives you a clear goal.
Yeah,
you're actually putting a figure on the thing you have to do, aren't you, Carol?
Definitely. I think goals are really important in businesses. It's a really big motivator. And if you don't have that goal there, you know, you're not, it's harder to meet it. I think it is statistically proven. You might be able, you know, people might stop me here, but that if you set goals, you do actually achieve higher than if those goals hadn't been there. So I think it is really important as a business owner to set yourself these goals.
So then, following on from that, then they need to be quite big goals, or at least a little bit further.
But they have
than
to be realistic. They have to be realistic goals,
but
obviously,
challenging.
But challenging. Yes,
realistic but challenging.
Yeah.
Why? So thinking then about other key tools for managing the money. Are there any we've missed? We've covered budget. We've thought about break even. We've thought, well, it's not a key tool, but it's a key piece of information you need. We've got cash flow. We've talked about key performance indicators. Is there anything else that you feel that businesses really could be benefiting from using?
I think we haven't spoken about management accounts.
No, we haven't.
And that's an essential tool. Making sure you've understood where you've been to where you're going to go. So management accounts, making sure that you know what profit you've made, that's really key.
And would you be thinking that people should do that every month?
Again, pretty much as before. I mean, it depends how your business fluctuates and how many transactions are going through, or how close you might be to your bank overdraft, or to need requiring a bank overdraft, or just because you're interested. But I mean, monthly, quarterly, 6-monthly, you can guide yourself on that, depending on those circumstances, I would think.
Just following on from that, I see quite often that people put quite a lot of effort into coming up with budgets, but then they don't necessarily go and put the effort in of looking at their management accounts, comparing them against budget, but investigating the variances. Like, I thought I was going to go and do this, but actually I've done this. And then you need to go away and you need to look at why and what's happened, what's changed, and how it affects your business. And maybe, you know, redo some of the budget if it's not realistic. So it's investing that time in actually making sure that your budget is stacking up against what you're actually doing.
So it makes sense then, if you're very canny in your business, to think that the items that you're listing are similar across the accounts, the cash flow and the budget, for you to be able to
When you do your budget, the place you should start is your last year's accounts.
Right.
So take your last year's accounts, billing management accounts, or if you haven't got them, maybe your annual accounts, and use those headings off there, you know, your expense headings.
Yeah.
And that's a really good place to start. It's really hard starting with a blank piece of paper. So if you've got those headings there, it helps you fill in the figures.
Sorry, I talked across you, which is very rude of me. But I'm just thinking also, then when you get to the end of that year, you can talk with your accountant about possibly changing how you're even putting the profit and loss together in terms of the items, because you might find other items more useful in your day-to-day budgeting and cash flow.
Yeah.
Because these are supposed to be day-to-day tools to help you manage a business better, aren't they? Which is why I saw the light in your eyes, Carol, when you were talking about the excitement of figures.
I think it's what's important is that clients and business owners, they're not meant to be accountants and experts in finance.
No.
So you know, you understand the business, and as a accountants, we're not going to understand the business and or be able to do the things that you do within your business. So you do what's good for you and know how that works, and then we'll assist to make sure that we can make that business as profitable as possible or make it into whatever you want to make it, because as Carol said at the start, it really depends what your goal is, and not everybody's goal is to make a whole load of profit. Many people's goal is to have a business that gives them enough income to enjoy their life but actually still have the time to have fun.
Yeah, which is a very good point, because it is having a clear... Going back to the goal, what's the point?
Yeah.
Why are you in business? Mm. Then everything has to take you towards that goal
also,
and the reason you set it up.
I think that's massively important if there's more than one of you as well, that you both, you know, because there's two of us in our business and we always take the time to sit down together and say, well, where are we going together? Because, you know, you might have different ideas and not realise it. So it's really important to sit down and agree on a common goal. It really helps, gives you that motivation for both of you to be working in the same direction towards the same thing with your business.
Yeah, because it would cause great tension if one of you said, hang on, I thought we were going over there. No, we're going down here. We're going to sell it in 5 years.
So that's a good byproduct of doing a budget, is that, you know, it really smooths the wheels of managing a business if there's more than one of you at the wheel.
Because you're all agreeing
to where you're going to go.
Yeah. Okay, so let's think then, we're coming to the end of the time together on this show. It's been really interesting to find out about how you can run a business better financially. Any important tips or things that you wish your clients would do if only they understood the magic of figures, Carol?
I think it's just generally taking more of an interest in it, and quite a lot of people, because I mean obviously they lose a lot of sleep over their financial figures and they kind of delegate it to someone else, and I think ultimately as a business owner, it's you're the person who has all the knowledge about the business. You have to take responsibility for the finances, and if you do delegate it to someone else, say a bookkeeper, to go and actually put the figures together and do the boring, you know, numbers and stuff, that you're reviewing what they're doing and checking and asking questions and saying, you know, why is my telephone bill so massive this month? You know, it's your business and you know, you should be taking an interest in the figures and seeing what's going on, really.
Yeah, you can trust people, but you need to be clear about what's going on under the
bonnet. It's your control.
So, Charlie, what's your tip?
I think my tip is to try as hard as you can and with the help of others to understand your profit, your personal income and the tax that you have to pay each year, because they're three different things
and they're important, all three.
They're all very important.
They are. Well, on that bombshell, I just want to say thank you very much, both of you, Carol Lewis of Bainbridge Lewis and Charlie Eve of Carpenter Box, for joining me on Essential Business Radio.